Welcome to the Touring Car America Podcast. This is where touring car racing comes to life. You'll get in-depth interviews with drivers, series officials, auto manufacturer reps, and unique personalities through SRO, America's Touring Car Division. This is the Touring Car America Podcast, and this is Joe Jordan.
This is the TC America Podcast 10 Questions with Jonathan Newcomb. Jonathan, hopefully I pronounced your last name right. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yes, Jonathan Newcomb, you said it all correctly.
Amazing. One in a row for me. All right. The the questions. Number one, what was the first car you ever owned?
First car I ever owned was a Toyota MR2. I couldn't tell you the year.
Was it the rounded one or the more squared off one?
Yeah, the more rounded one.
Okay.
It was boxy but rounded.
Cool. Question number two. What did you want to be when you were growing up? So when you were a kid, what were your dreams of being?
Obviously, a race car driver.
You do that right away. Most kids want to be like a fireman or a policeman or burger flipper. I don't know, whatever. My kid wanted. I was convinced my son wanted to be a garbage collector, but you know, you wanted to be a race car driver from the very beginning.
I did. Well, my father raced. He didn't race professionally. He just raced regionally. And so seeing him race and being around race cars all the time, I mean, he used to take me to the runoffs at Road Atlanta when I was young all the time. So I was like, I want to be a race car driver, and there you go.
That makes sense. What I wanted to be. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense if it's part of the family and you grew up with it. It makes total sense. I was pretty similar.
I did not want to be a burger flipper. That's
nothing wrong with that, though. Hey, so.
If it works.
Yeah, whatever works for anyone, right? Question number three is, do you have brothers and sisters? If yes, how many and where are you in the mix?
I do. I have an older sister. She's 6 years older than I am. She is still out in Colorado, but it's just she and I. So one older sister is all I have.
And is she interested in racing from the days when your dad would take you guys around, or is she not that interested in racing?
Yeah, you know, she loves racing. I think she's actually drove a race car once or twice just to see if she liked it. She likes going fast, but I don't think she's competitive in a race car.
Sure. Question number four, what's your go-to order at your favorite restaurant?
Oh, man, a go-to order. I mean, well, I guess it goes back to the other question, a burger. I mean, you can't go wrong with a good burger just about anywhere you go. I love a good, juicy burger, you know, nice cheese and bacon on it. That's what I like.
So bacon cheeseburger is it. I like it. Question number five. Yep. What do you wish you knew when you started racing? So anything that you know now that you wish you could tell yourself when you're just going to first start go racing?
It's going to be a lot harder to be successful than you think. That is what I would have to tell myself because, you know, as a kid or as a younger teen, you think, oh, if I'm fast, I'm going to be good. Well, it takes more than just being fast. There's a whole lot of accumulation to being fast and beating other people. So I guess it's just, yeah, I would tell myself that there's a lot more to it than just being fast.
Good advice. Question number six, what's something that you failed at?
Oh, what haven't I failed at? there's a lot of things, I guess, along the way that we fail at. I actually, another kind of want-to-be thing, I played hockey for a long time, and I I actually played semi-pro. I failed at that because I got hurt.
Right.
That would probably be the thing.
Very good. Question number 7. If you could choose walk-up music like they do in baseball, what song would you pick as your walk-up music?
Oh, man, there's probably so many of them. What's just really cool to just, as a kid, brings back memories. I don't know that you'd have to help me out here, but the song on Top Gun, the Top Gun song for the movie.
Yeah, I'm getting it. I don't know the name of it, but we'll say the theme to Top Gun. That's fine. I think everyone will know.
Everybody knows it. Yeah.
Question number 8. What do you do on a normal non-race weekend?
Watch college football.
Yeah, you're.
I love college football. My wife does too, and my kids. So we all watch football, and maybe that's on Saturdays, and then on Sundays go to church and hang out with the family.
And who do you root for in college football?
Florida Gators.
Okay, very good.
Yep.
I'm a San Diego State Aztec, and this week, for the first time in a couple years, we're in the top 25. So I'm very excited about that. So, Cameron Evans. Who runs in our series is also an Aztec, and actually Stefan Rattel was an exchange student at San Diego State while I was there as well. So a bunch of Aztecs in the series.
Yeah, my wife is in Oregon, so she's a Duck, but she allows my kids to be Florida Gator fans, so I like it.
There you go. All right, question number 9. What's your favorite book?
I've never been a big book reader, but I would say, in conjunction with the Florida Gators, Tim Tebow's books. I love Tim Tebow as a person. His faith and his beliefs are great, and he has a lot of good books out there. So he has 2 of them that are kind of inspirational and encouraging as far as following your dreams and never giving up. I mean, it was kind of his story, and I like it because it's kind of my story. I mean, racing has definitely been ups and downs, and it's just kind of, perked me up to keep pushing forward and to not give up on it.
Cool. That sounds, you made me interested enough to look into the book, so that's good. Question number 10. When you're alone in your car, are you singing along with the music?
Yes. Definitely. I'm probably one of those people that are like jamming out, that you look at over at a stoplight and you're like, that dude is enjoying his music. It matters on the mood I'm in, of course, but most of the time, yeah, I'm singing and jamming out to my music.
Now, do you do it when other people are in the car too, or just when you're by yourself?
Oh, strictly by myself.
I like
it. I don't sing, I don't really dance in front of people, but if I'm alone, I'm a party animal.
I like it. Well, thanks for doing the TC America podcast 10 questions, Jonathan. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Corksport Performance is your Mazdaholic stop for performance parts. Since 1998, Corksport has been giving love to all the ignored Mazda models which everyone drives. 20 years later, Corksport is a leader in manufacturing a full range of performance parts for the Mazda Speed 3, the Mazda 3, the ND MX-5, and more. We have real people that will take your phone call. None of that email-only BS from online-only stores, or a store being run out of their mom's basement in Detroit by a guy named Chuck. Corksport supports simple bolt-on mods, giving you guidance and advice to build your Mazda Speed 3 to over 600 horsepower and be a terror on the track.
This is the TC America podcast, and we're going inside the series with Touring Car Series Manager Jim Jordan. Jim, how are you?
Doing great, Joe. Doing well. Kind of a busy period of time as we're trying to get ready for thermal. The 2020 schedule's out, so I'm getting some calls and messages about that. So it's good.
Yeah, let's talk about the 2020 schedule. I'm super excited because I've known about it for quite a long time that you've been working on it. It's being brothers. I get to know some of those things that other people don't get to know. And That is the Touring Car Festival at Lime Rock. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, really excited about the Touring Car Festival. It's been kind of a dream of mine forever almost, that really have something that allows Touring Car to be the main focus. And so we're finally getting to do that at Lime Rock. The track's excited. It's a great festival area for touring cars. The track itself is set up in such a way that it's kind of like a little bull ring. So I think it's just going to highlight just the close competitive racing we have in TC America. And we're kind of using it as a prototype because, of course, since we decide on what our schedule is going to be, we've actually had a couple other possibilities come out of the woodwork. And it's been good actually to tell some tracks no, because you always want to be wanted. And once you tell somebody no, then a lot of times they want you more. But we're already talking 2021. So that's just kind of stuff I love.
Yeah, you know, in this last few episodes, I feel like I've been the Victor Gonzalez podcast show because I'm interviewing all his new drivers that are coming to the series, which is an awesome thing. But to hear the growth and to have a race just focused on touring car, yes, GT4 will be there, but it's really going to be focused on touring car is so exciting. And just by doing that, it's opened up a lot of ideas through other promoters and other race tracks, which is exactly where we hoped it would go.
Yeah, it's been kind of funny getting ready for Lime Rock because, as you said, I've been working on this for months and months and months, and Lime Rock and the series, we've basically agreed on virtually everything, but the contract's just working its way through the process, so we couldn't fully announce it. What was funny to me, though, was when the GT4 folks came and asked if they could be part of the weekend. So I begrudgingly said, of course they can, but long-term, touring cars are going to be the headliner there. So GT4 makes a nice support series for touring car, and we're really excited that it's going to be that way.
Yeah, it's great. And the whole schedule looks really good. You know, for the St. Petersburg race to no longer be an invitational or to be a true race for TCR and TCA is extremely exciting. Everything I'm hearing through the grapevine, and you and I haven't talked as much as we normally do, there's a potential for a ton of TCA cars next year.
Yeah, I think TCA is going to continue to grow. And the folks I'm talking to, TC, I think we're going to see in TC for 2020, kind of what we saw in TCA in 2019, some new cars. And I think it's just going to keep growing from there. The number of cars and the number of teams that are looking to get involved is just great. TCA, I think we're going to see a couple more Hondas and from what I hear, there's a lot of excitement about the Hyundai. So that's good. Have a couple of Mazda teams. They've seen that the MX-5, Global MX-5 Cup car is still competitive. And I won the championships, driver's championship at least. So just a lot of interest and a lot of new cars and just going to be exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited to also learn this week that Tyler Maxson is moving up to TCR in the Hyundai. So that's also an exciting development, the champ from TCA moving up to TCR. And, you know, is he still going to be 14 or 15, or how old is he going
to
be?
I think he's going to be 15 to start the season and 16 by the end of the year. He may just be 15 all year long. Yeah, so
he actually turned 15 going into Vegas.
Yeah, exactly.
So he'll be going into Indy. It'll be right around his birthday time, I think.
Yeah, somewhere in there. And I know Copeland Racing has a great relationship with Herta. They're sort of becoming the satellite team in our paddock. And I'm hoping that Copeland can at least get one more car. Been talking to Dean and to Kevin, and they've both been implying that they are going to have two cars for next season. So not sure if we're going to see an announcement soon on that or if that's going to be just kind of a regular deal. But between the TCA car, cars that I know Copeland's running. Gonzalez there has already announced that he's coming. But I know that there's great interest in building and racing a few more of those cars in our series next year.
Yeah. So moving on now, coming up, a couple weeks, really? Well, actually, more like three or four weeks, is the first winter series race at Thermal. So talk a little bit about Thermal, Jim.
Yeah, the point that we were trying to do with Thermal, and so far it's looking to be the case, at least for most of the TC folks we're talking to, is we're trying to get new people that have never run with us before, but have cars that are eligible. And for the most part, those are the BMW M240, 235, the Audi TCR cars, actually had some interest from an Alpha team, and then the Global MX5 Cup guys, plus any people building the new Hondas, or I'm sorry, buying the new Hondas, to give them a place to get to learn how to run an SRO TC America race, because, you know, we're a higher level professional series and we want people to come in and be ready to go and race the series at the level we want. So we want to give them an introduction to the way we run races out at Thermal. So far, I have one person that looks like they're coming with some experience and a lot of experience. But for the most part, it's either brand new people or people that have run some part-time racing that are looking to kind of test drive TC America. So in that case, it looks like we're accomplishing what we want. So far, the December entries have been decent, but I think we'll see a lot more cars in January and February. December, at the end of the year, we wanted to get it up and running. And it's kind of, you know, December is always a little bit of a gamble because it's just before Santa Claus. So people are focused on other things besides racing. But we are getting a lot of license requests and that sort of thing. So, again, our hope was to introduce people to TC America and all the SRO classes in general in a lower pressure, fun sort of way. And I think Thermal will accomplish this, right? Right now, though, we're just trying to help guys get their licenses done, making sure they know the physicals, the safety requirements, all that. I know Jack Baldwin's been busy with his people. I know Stacy is working on all the GT3 and Cup teams. And I know for the TC world, I've just been getting a lot of questions and interest. And now it's just turning those into entries.
You know, I think it's a really interesting thing that's going on, and I'm excited for it to see the new people come to the series and check it out and really see if they fit or not. And I think that's what it's all about, is just kind of getting people to understand that, you know, this may be a place for them to go racing all year, not just the winter series. And I do like the benefit that people who ran with us in 2019, if they want to run this first race of the winter series, they can do it off their old license. And if they are going to race next year, they can get a 2020 license for this event in December and run that throughout the winter series. I think that's a great way to go as well.
Well, when Robbie Montanola, Stacy Lanigan, and myself kind of were talking about this winter series, we wanted to focus on making sure it's fun. So it's going to be a step above the normal club racing experience. I know the competition side, Marcus Hasselgrove and Brian Hughes have been working really hard to make sure we get a very professional staff there. But we don't want to lose the funness of this. So I think it's going to be a nice balance. We're going to introduce some new officials. We're bringing some local talent in to give them an opportunity to check this all out. We're bringing some of our usual people in, and it should be just overall a nice balance. And again, the point is, some of these people we hope to see on the grid at COTA in Texas in a few months when we start up the regular season. But this way, new teams, new drivers, they get acclimated. They get to know the people, too, in a more relaxed, less stress atmosphere. So I also want to see we have more and more cars being built to the SRO rules. GT3, GT4 cars, they continue to sell sell a lot of those and grow those. And a lot of those people who have the cars have never really run them in a pro race. In the TC world, with the Honda program, now the Hyundai program, the Mazda program, the BMW program, Audi, the TCR, there's more and more of those cars showing up that we're not seeing in either our series or the IMSA series. So we want to give those people an opportunity to step up from their local club racing. And I think once they do so, they're really going to like the way the races are run. So we're trying to make it easy for them to come out and participate. And again, if I can get 10 to 15 of those people out at some point during the winter series and can get half of those to come out and run some of the other races with us, then it's, to me, a big success.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, Jim. It's close. You know, to me, it's an hour and a half drive. But thermal's also kind of a mystery to a lot of people who aren't members there. So this is an opportunity if someone wants to drive the track and they have a car that fits our series, they can come drive the track that they, if they're not a member, they don't normally get to drive. So it's all a unique opportunity that's being presented by running at thermal for the next 3 months.
Brian Hughes went out to inspect the track last week just to make sure that it met our safety requirements. And he just came back, said, what a interesting and great facility. He was really impressed with the thermal tracks and how they operate and how they do business. I will say he, going into it, maybe was a little bit concerned just because, again, it's unknown. He had never seen it before, but he came back. Obviously, thermal, they didn't get 100% passing grade. There's a few little changes, tire walls, that sort of thing. There need to going to change. But overall, Brian came back and just had nothing but really good things to say, both about the track and the attitude of the track to make this a success.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to have driven some BMWs at the BMW Performance Center for a work event there. So I got to drive part of the track and it was fun. I think it'll surprise people on how well it'll drive. And I'm glad to hear that it's going to be up to safety standards. So that's exciting. Same time as thermal is PRI, so I know we're going to have a PRI booth too. So if anyone's not going to thermal and they're going to go to PRI, they can go by the SRO booth at thermal and find out any information that they'd like to know.
We're also doing a state of the series meeting. So Robbie Montanola and Marcus Hasselgrove will be taking the lead there. That will be Thursday. So the first day, opening day of PRI. It's around lunchtime. Apologize for not knowing any more, but feel free to reach out to me or anyone in the SRO staff. And they'll talk about some of the rules changes. I know they're working hard on updating the rules book and car specs and that sort of thing. Also, Robbie Montanola will just have the latest marketing information. Some very interesting things we've learned this year. We've included the TC America shows as part of the overall SRO GT World shows. And the number of eyeballs we're getting now as part of that program worldwide, it's amazing and it's remarkable. And I think that's another reason we're starting to see more and more international interest in the TC America rule set, is because the number of viewers we now have worldwide. So that's it's all very good. Robbie will be sharing all the marketing data, and social media numbers, all the things that our partners need and our participants need. To try to get more partnerships involved. So if you're not going to thermal, I think that meeting is going to be extremely valuable. If you're trying to figure out, you know, more information about SRO and TC America, that's going to be great. Unfortunately, I'm going to be at thermal that Wednesday. I'm Wednesday and Thursday. I won't be a part of the PRI at all this year. So apologize to anyone who was looking to see me, but I'm always available by phone, email, whatever.
And Jim, it's interesting for you to point out the fact that the eyeballs that are on the touring car on GT World on YouTube, it's been amazing to me also about the podcast is, you know, I've been trying to understand why the podcast has been so well received in so many listeners, because it's definitely not the talent behind the mic. And I think it's really, there isn't anything else out there in touring car for people to listen to and to get a feel for. So it doesn't surprise me at all, especially when I look at the demographics for this podcast,
how much, you know, the world listens to the podcast. So I know that they're dying for information and availability around the world for a different type of racing, and that is touring car. So it doesn't surprise me, but I know it will surprise some people there at the PRI show. And when Robbie presents that stuff, I would definitely pay attention.
Yeah, we need to make sure that you get recognized for the hard work, because I'm just shocked at how many listens this presentation has. And I will say that's a little bit of a double-edged sword. So some of your TC America podcast friends were very disappointed in the last 24 hours with the schedule. While most people in the teams love the schedule, people in Portland and people in Las Vegas are really upset we're not going back, and they've been quite vocal about that in social media. For those fans, just know that we're always open to going back to any tracks when the economics present themselves. So I remember the old IMSA days, and boy, you think that maybe a Las Vegas Portland swing or something like that in the future. And again, if the thermal event is very popular, who knows, maybe we could do just some sort of West Coast mini series to have once we get enough TC America type cars on the West Coast, we could do a fun little West Coast series. Or who knows, maybe we could work with some local organization to put together some something with the TC America rule set.
So Jim, I'm so happy that people are getting hate mail other than just the TC America podcast, because I did take about a month break there and I got some serious hate mail for not having content. So I feel your pain. You know, I laugh because I love it. I'm so glad that people are passionate and that they're upset, you know, and they're mad at me for not doing the podcast, and they're mad that we're not going back to Vegas and Portland. I had a great time in Vegas, and I think the crowd may have been better than what I thought it was going to be. But it's hard to see the crowd at Vegas because there's so much grandstand and everybody was in the infield. But and I love Portland. I think we got a long personal history at Portland and racing and outside of racing up there in the Pacific Northwest. So you never know. Like Jim said, make it an economic benefit for the teams and the series, and we'll go back there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, Portland was the most painful one to lose this year, because I was a real champion of going to Portland. Would still like to get back to Portland, but we need a tightly compressed two-race schedule to get there. And we couldn't do that with Sonoma just because the Portland dates were all booked. Same with Las Vegas. The Sonoma race, it's still too hot in Vegas. So I'm not sure how we do it, but again, long-term, I love the idea of several races on the West Coast, but they just got to be done in such a way that it makes sense for the tow. The other thing is that the TC America, the format we have, short races, sprint racing, there's just enough tracks that are kind of like it, they've awakened to how that can work for them. So we're now getting to the point where we have more tracks wanting us than we have the ability to go to, because at the end of the day, we got to make sure that the economics work for everybody. And to me, it's critical that we make sense financially for the tracks, but we also need to make sense financially for our teams. And again, we got to make sure that we have the right number of races so our teams can make money and the drivers can make the races.
Yeah, and one thing I want to say about a little more about the international flavor of touring car racing and TC America is next year, just in TCA, we're going to have, of course, Americans, but we're going to have Guatemalan, a Costa Rican, Puerto Rican. So
don't forget Canadians.
Canadians, oh my God, my Canadian friends will kill me. Yeah, the crazy Canucks will be there too, so it's really becoming international. It's becoming an America series, which is really, really exciting. And I called Victor's team the United Nations because he's got like one from every country. So anyway, the international flavor is there. And I really thank you, Jim, for your time. I'm looking forward to Thermal and the rest of the 2020 schedule. And do you have anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, just I guess the only thing I will add is just I want to thank all the teams for a great 2019. As usual, learned a lot and grew, and just excited to see for what happens for 2020. I hope everyone that ran 2019 comes back. If you don't, we'll miss you. But looking forward to 2020 and meeting all the new drivers.
Got some great things coming, guys. Stand by.
Want to save money modifying your Mazda? Yeah, we thought you might like that. And now, thanks to the TC America podcast, you can save 10% off your next purchase with Corksport. Corksport offers a full range of performance engine, handling, and styling parts for the Mazda 3, Mazda 6, Mazda Speed 3, MX-5, and more. So how do you get the 10% off from your favorite podcast, you ask? It's easy to do. Get your favorite parts on corksport.com and enter the promo code TCAmerica19, all in capitals, and the magic happens. You save 10%. This offer expires October 1st, 2019, so don't wait long to save. Love, Corksport.
This is where touring car racing comes to life. We're back. We're back to the Touring Car America podcast with Joe Jordan.
This is the TC America podcast. I'm Joe Jordan, and I'm here with Rubio Iglesias. Ruben, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm doing well. So, Ruben, you're going to be new to our, well, I shouldn't say new to our series because you participated with VGMC. You're part owner of that team that ran the TCR Honda Civic Type R for Victor Gonzalez Jr. And this year you're going to be participating in the TC class for the Civic Type R. So first off, welcome to the series.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I know that you live in Puerto Rico and we'd like to learn more about you. And I try to tell people this is like the worst blind date they've ever had because, you know, they don't know me very well, but I'm going to ask a lot of weird questions. So what we did that 10 questions thing. When you were growing up, I heard that always wanted to be a ship captain. So can you talk about that? What made you want to be a ship captain?
Well, my grandfather and my father, both of them were captains as well. And I grew up basically running all over tugboats and jumping from one to another. And did short trips with my father as well. And that immediately fell in love with the sea. So I always knew that I wanted to head over and get my ship captain's license, and that's what I did.
All right, and you're the third of four boys. So what was it like growing up in your household with four boys? Was it always a battle, always fighting, always competing with each other?
We always did compete, even though we got along very well. But just to give you a mental picture, we had boxing gloves and head protection gear while growing up.
So did you have a rig, or were you just outdoors going for it when you got mad enough at each other, or just having fun?
Right in the house, we would do it for fun, and that helped us actually to get along quite well.
That's interesting. What about it helped you get along well? I want to hear about that some more.
Well, you know, it's when you have something inside that it's just, you know, when you get mad or something like that, and you can get it right out and discharge it right after, you know, you realize that, you know, it was pointless. So being the third one, me and the second oldest brother that I have, he's a big guy. And I would realize, you know, no matter how mad I got, I would not get into a fight with him because I always lost.
Makes sense. So, yeah, I only had soccer boppers, which are inflatable things. And I was the youngest of six kids. And my brother, one who's Jim Jordan, he runs the Touring Car Series, he's a series manager. He's 9 years older than me. So we couldn't really do any boxing matches. And I couldn't really do that with my sisters. So I wish I could have done that. I would have loved to have some gloves on with my brother.
It was fun, believe me.
So, when did you first start? I know you got interested in boats. When did you get interested in cars?
Well, I always loved cars. Always, you know, it was ships and cars always. And but I started back in 2012. Actually, 2003. I bought my first car that I started modifying myself. And in 2013, we started a company. I started a company that had to do with modifying cars. And that's basically what got me into it.
And that's the, I'm going to probably, why don't you say the name of it? Because I don't want to butcher the name of it.
Yeah, it's Feebrus Motorsports.
Feebrus Motorsports, yeah. And that's part of Victor's program, and you're a big part of the program. And I've seen some of the videos and pictures of your facility and some of the things that you do there at your company. It's really high quality stuff, so it's really nice to see that. I was very surprised because I, you know, being a Southern Californian, I always think that Southern California is a mecca for cars. And I think I may be wrong. I think you may have made the mecca of cars there in Puerto Rico. So, you know, foolish me to think that Puerto Rico couldn't do what you guys are doing, but you really are. So I'm a little bit naive when it comes to that.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And I know that you, so you made this company so you could build some cool cars. And I think in doing some research on you, you've got a record for a half mile. Could you, for people who don't know, could you explain what a half mile race is?
Well, on the half mile race, basically what it is, it's from a standing start. You head out and basically cover, you know, half a mile in distance, and whatever top speed you can get out of the car after that half mile mark, that basically dials in your speed. And right now in the Caribbean and in Puerto Rico, we have the record with 232 miles per hour.
232 miles an hour. So that's, you must go to an airport or someplace like that to have a long enough place to do that. Is that correct? Always, I know they do that here. They'll find an airport and they'll do a half mile and sometimes even a mile run.
Yeah, it's always on the airport, and it's usually street cars. So, you know, you want to keep it. The record is held only by a street car.
Huh. And what kind of car was that in?
In a Nissan GTR, 2013 Nissan GTR.
And 232 miles an hour. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
What was that sensation like going that fast in a street car?
Well, believe it or not, it happened so quick. You know, it's so quick, you know, that those cars develop that speed quickly. And, you know, I guess the adrenaline doesn't allow you to even think about it. You're just looking forward and
probably getting on the brakes pretty hard to make sure you don't run into something at the end, right?
Yeah, believe it or not, that's one of the most important things not to do that, because at that speed with the downforce, if you step on the brakes, the front tires might hit and you might blow a tire, and then you can get into an accident. So usually you let it speed down, and if you need to, you open parachutes if you need to. Otherwise, you just tap the brakes so it stops slowly.
Ah, so you just get off the accelerator, let it start slowing down on its own, and then slowly tap the brakes until it's at a speed that you can control it.
Exactly.
Wow, that's interesting. So it's very similar then, because I've gone out to like El Mirage and into Bonneville. It's kind of the same thing that they do there. They kind of just let it wind down. Because they get on the brakes and the cars get out of control so quickly. That's very. I guess I never thought of that in a streetcar, but it does make sense. Congratulations on the record, and that's a pretty incredible speed in a streetcar. I'm not sure if I'd even want to attempt that, but that's incredible.
it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and the excitement and, you know, and the adrenaline on it is just amazing.
And it's probably a good way to build your business and to let people know that you can build serious cars.
That is right. That's that business, really, I built it more as a hobby when it started. And we just wanted to break records. That's what we wanted to do. We weren't even looking into getting customers or anything like that. But, you know, when we started breaking the records, then, you know, I started getting the customers walking in, and we started tending to them. And I guess here we are now.
And I know that, you know, you guys are building a really cool program with VGMC as well. And next year you're going from the one car to four cars, which is quite the undertaking and quite the buildup.
And I'm excited to see that. What about your road? We know you can drive 232 miles an hour. How do you do in the turns?
Well, I'm actually I've been doing it since 13 because the half mile race is just something that we do for records. But I am more passionate about that circuit racing and stuff like that. Longer lasting, the excitement. So I've been doing it since 2012, not professionally. Right. So I'm really, do it with, I had the Scion FRS and also Mitsubishi Evo 8. And with the Evo 8 right now, it's a good, got a good lap record on it as well. But I got a lot to learn still.
Sure, but so it's going to be your first professional season, but you've been running for 5 or 6 years at an amateur level and developing your skills, so that's good to hear. Evo 8 and a Scion FRS are both interesting cars, and I'm sure they handle completely differently. So that's interesting to hear, you driving both those cars, one a momentum car and one just an all-out beast, so that's a good way to learn.
Yes.
And I think you said that you went to college in the U.S. somewhere, in the mainland anyway?
Yeah. I went to SUNY Maritime in New York.
In New York. Where is that? Where is SUNY Maritime? I know it's in New York, but what part of New York?
It's right on the Bronx, below the Thoracic Bridge. It's, it's right in front of, it's on the Long Island Sound, basically. Yeah. Because, of course, you got to have water access, and... It's just a maritime college. It's part of the SUNY system.
Yep.
The State University of New York system.
Yeah, I have friends who went to some of the SUNY system. I didn't know they had a maritime college, and that's why I was curious to see where it was, because I was thinking maybe it could be by Buffalo, by the Great Lakes, because that's the water I thought of.
Yeah.
I didn't even think Brooklyn, so that's really interesting. So,
okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah,
man.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask a question about your choice of cars for next year, because they're building them now. I know I'm super excited about it, but we haven't seen we saw one run privately, but you're going to be running one of the very first Honda HPD built Honda Civic Type R's for touring car, the TC class. So what are your thoughts about the car and how's it going to be running against all those BMWs and Nissans and Hyundais?
Well, I am very excited to be driving that car. I owned a Civic Type R when they first came out, and it's a great car. I think it's more than capable, and being built by HPD, that gives us, I think, everything we need. I think the job at the end of the day, I'm going to have to step up to the plate, how they say.
Yeah, and you'll have time to do it, too. You don't have to win at COTA, right? You don't have to set the world on fire in COTA as much as you want to. But if you develop your skills and learn the car over the season, you should be there at the end. I mean, I think it's proven over and over again. You got to be near the front in the beginning, but if you can be at the front towards the end of the season, you can win the championship.
That's right. It's just take it one race at a time. That's basically the way we see it. We'll take it one race at a time, and we'll do the best we can and learn from every race. I'm sure that the car is more than capable, and I think it's a great car. I really like the car. So I think that it will take us all the way, and hopefully we'll do a good job.
I'm sure you will, and I think with Victor Studelidge and some of the others that you put in place, I think you're setting yourself up well to be in a good position. So I know it's very important from Boricuas, I hope I said that right, from Puerto Rico, to talk about Puerto Rico and what that means to you. It's not just a Puerto Rican team, because you have Jonathan who's an American, and you have Miguel, one of your crew guys, is from Costa Rica. So I don't mean it to be that way, but I know that you're very proud of the Puerto Rican heritage. So
what really makes you so proud of Puerto Rico?
Well, we're warm people, and we like to fight for what we believe in, and we like to we like to show what our capabilities are, like everybody else does at a given time. But I think that, you know, we like people to recognize us for our hospitality and the type of people that we are. We take anybody in, and we are good to everybody, no matter where they come from. It's just the way we are. And I think that that's one of the things that I think we should feel very proud of, is that we give to everybody the best that we can get. So that's what we're going to try to do this year, and that's basically the most important part, to do the best we can and to show everybody, you know, what we can do.
I love it. And I really enjoy seeing the pride in Puerto Rico and how you really have a community that comes out and roots for your team. And it's just, it's wonderful to see, and to see the passion and the open arms, like you said. So I really enjoy that in the first year of your team in the series. And I know it's going to be even crazier next year with all the stuff that you guys have planned and going on. But what about, what are your goals? Like, what are your goals for this year and the future?
Well, I think that Victor also agrees with me, and he's the one that put the idea on my head as well. So I think that our goal is to do a good performance this year, to the point where we can get HBG to bet on us to go to the next level in a couple of years. Maybe not next year, but in a couple of years.
Okay, so GT4, GT3, or whatever they're building at that time, something like that. Is that what you're thinking?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Huh, very good. I like it. So you don't necessarily have a date, exact date of when that's going to happen. It's more of continue to prove your team's worth, continue to improve, you know, to show Honda HPD what you guys are capable of, and see what happens. And your hope is that you're going to show them, even again this year, what how strong you are as a team, and potentially move on up to the higher levels. Now, being the touring car guy, I don't want you to go already. I'm already like, you can't go. But I think that's great for you to have those kind of aspirations and dreams. And in GT4 right now, about half the field are former touring car drivers. So we know that that's kind of how it goes. But don't leave us. Not yet, Ruben. You're just getting started.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be good. But I think, you know, we'll be here for a while.
Yeah, that's good. And what about your team? I mean, you're going to have the TCR car, your touring car, and two TCA cars, one for Jonathan Newcomb, who I've interviewed, and I'm going to also interview Juan Diego from Guatemala. I think it's very interesting to bring on some of the Central American drivers. And I was lucky enough where my son raced in Guatemala a year and a half ago, and I went down there to watch him race and to participate. And I was really shocked at the level of drivers and the level of competition and overall the crowd enthusiasm down there. So you have another new driver coming, Juan Diego. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? On not only you guys promoting Puerto Rico, but you're promoting Central American drivers as well.
I think it's very cool. I think it's very cool. And I think that keeping that diversity on the team is going to actually help us out quite a bit. And, you know, you'll be surprised. You know, there's talent everywhere. You just got to look for it. And Victor has a perfect eye for that.
Yeah. And I try to tell people all the time that I meet that they need to kind of investigate some of those tracks and some of those races down there in Latin America, because there is a lot of talent and there is some really good cars and interesting cars down there. So I'm excited to kind of see a pipeline start flowing, and most likely it's going to flow right through BGMC and Peru. So I do know that we have a Costa Rican woman coming as well, Sabrina Formel, who's going to be driving with Tech Sport. So you guys are bringing the Latino flavor in, and I think it's a wonderful addition to the series.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I really look forward to getting to know you this year. And I wish you all the best of luck. And I guess we'll see you at COTA.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And we're very excited and looking forward to meet you as well.
Thanks, Ruben. Have a great day.
You too, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Touring Car America podcast, where touring car racing comes to life. Please like, comment, and subscribe to the show. And for more series information, go to the series website at tcamerica.us.